Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas. Well, this really kind of feels like Christmas time for a lot of folks in the area. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, a lot to be excited about because the Browns have that first overall pick in this year's NFL draft. Not just the first overall pick, but they also have the 12th overall pick as well. Can't get enough NFL draft talk this time of the year, that's for sure. And here to continue the NFL draft talk with us is Phil Savage. He's the executive director for the Senior Bowl. He's also, of course, for the former Browns general manager. Phil, thank you very much for giving us some of your time here. And I know this is a really, really busy time of the year for you. And I know you're actually headed to the draft here in the next 24 hours. With that being said, as we take a look at this draft, the Browns have that first overall pick. All signs point to the Browns selecting Myles Garrett. Phil, in your opinion, do you think bypassing on a guy like Garrett would be a colossal mistake?
Well, first of all, good afternoon, guys. And, yes, it's absolutely is that time of year where this is the culmination of probably 11 months' worth of work for all of these teams, including the Browns. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily term anything related to the draft as colossal one way or the other, but I do think that the Browns are going to be inclined to turn the card in on Myles Garrett. Not necessarily because he's the best football player today, but because of the immense upside potential that he brings as a prospect. He's the most talented prospect in this draft, and if he's coached in the proper way and fits their system, then he could be a significant player for them in the future. And I think that's the way they'll go, and ultimately they'll take that 12th pick and the assets that they've built over the last year or so and probably try to figure out a way to get back into that top 10 to take the quarterback that they like the most.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, I mean, it really kind of seems like a lot of folks are sending out some mixed signals as far as all the signal callers in this year's draft. A lot of local flavor surrounding Mitchell Trubisky out of the University of North Carolina, but of course he had a great high school career playing at Mentor. Is there a chance that he'll still be there for the Browns at number 12? Because depending on who you talk to, it sounds like he may not last through the first five or six picks, but is there any chance that he might be there at 12? And if he is not, are there any other quarterbacks in your mind that are worth taking that high?
Yeah, I don't personally think that he would last to the 12th pick. Now, I actually like Deshaun Watson a little better because I think if you go in the first round, inevitably you're going to be on the field at some point this year. And so with that being said, I just feel like that Watson has more game experience. He's been on the biggest of stages. He's been in front of the media. I think he's very driven to become a legitimate NFL signal caller. So I favor Watson a shade more than Trubisky, but at the same time, I think that the league has Trubisky over Watson. Therefore, I think he'll be off the board at 12. And, you know, that begs the question, are the Browns content to stay at 12 and either take Deshaun Watson or perhaps O.J. Howard, the tight end from Alabama? Or would they even consider moving down again and get down into that 20 to 30 range where it would make more sense to maybe take one of these true developmental quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes or Davis Webb from Cal, maybe even Deshaun Kizer from Notre Dame?
Phil, you bring up Deshaun Kizer. I'm just curious, as a former GM, as a guy who's been in that war room, Brian Kelly came out at the beginning of the month and made some comments about his former quarterback, saying he wished he'd stayed back. He thought he needed the extra year. Are teams paying attention to what Brian Kelly says, or do they look more at what happened at the combine and everything else?
I think teams were probably in line with what Brian Kelly said about Deshaun Kizer. I was actually at the Notre Dame-Texas game, which was the high water mark for the Irish last year. Remember, that was the Sunday night of Labor Day. And there were people in the press box affiliated with NFL teams and that look at these players, and they say, there's the number one pick in the draft next year. Obviously, the wheels came off during the season. He did not handle the 4-8 year very well. He actually had 2 years left. And I think virtually every club in the league would have said, hey, he would have been wiser to go back, play another year of college, and then enter the draft. That's not what happened. So I do think that somebody will take him. It's likely going to be in the second round. but he probably ends up in a circumstance where he can sit for a year, and he'll basically be a backup his junior year of college, and then perhaps when he would have been a true senior in college, he'll be on an NFL field, but the only time will tell.
We're talking with Phil Savage, the executive director for the Senior Bowl here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Boy, and sticking with the offensive side of things here, looks like an interesting crop of receivers this year in this year's draft. A lot of attention, rightfully so, has been paid to Mike Williams of Clemson, but it really kind of seems like, at least over the last few weeks, Corey Davis of Western Michigan stock is really, really rising. What are your thoughts on Corey Davis, and do you still think he's the kind of guy that would go somewhere in the middle of the first round?
I do. The one drawback with Davis is just the fact that he had an ankle surgery at the end of January, so he is untested to this point. You know, the clubs have not been able to really put him through all the testing drills, the shuttles, the jumps, and all those sorts of things. But you watch his tape, he can play outside, he can play inside, he's got body control, good hands, run after catchability. I like him as a better overall player than Mike Williams at this point. To me, Mike Williams is a bit more of a power forward playing on the outside. He doesn't have huge speed, runs well enough, but he's a hitch, slant, back shoulder fade type of receiver coming out of a spread offense. But I think that, you know, both of those guys, if not one, if not both, would be available at 12. You know, I don't know if the Browns would back up the first-round pick a year ago of Corey Coleman with another first-round receiver, especially in light of the fact that they took, Rashard Higgins and Jordan Payton. I mean, they've taken receivers. They've got a lot of potential depth there at their spot. I think they'd be more inclined to look at O.J. Howard if he were still on the board, if they were going to choose somebody other than a quarterback at 12.
And taking a look at the defensive back class this year, boy, it seems to be really, really deep. You know, of course, we're an Ohio State affiliate. I know there are a lot of good Buckeyes in that crop as well. Who would you say are the top three defensive backs in your mind going into this year's draft?
Well, this is definitely a defensive back group that is very deep in 2017. Matter of fact, I was at ESPN yesterday, and we did our GM roundtable show, and Mark Dominic, the former Buccaneers GM, expects 20 DBs to go in the first two rounds, which is just a ton of guys at that position. In specific to Ohio State, I think you'll see Marshawn Lattimore come off the board a few picks ahead of Malik Hooker just because of the position, corner versus safety. Of course, there was some news that was released this afternoon circling around Gary and Conley that could impact his draft status. But in regards to the overall group, you know, Jamal Adams from LSU is likely going to go in the top five, three-year starter for the Tigers, just a really good football player on the defensive side of things. A player that to keep an eye on perhaps for the Browns would be Obi Melifonwu as maybe a second-round option. For the Browns, Marcus Williams is a junior that came out of Utah. He's another guy that would probably interest them. And then, of course, cornerback-wise, they had Tre'Davious White from LSU down here in Mobile at the Reese's Senior Bowl, and they coached against Jordan Lewis, who was on the North roster from Michigan. But those are guys that are probably going to hear their names called in the top 50 picks of this draft.
Phil, what about Jabril Peppers? A lot of Big Ten people obviously well aware of the versatility he brought to Michigan last year. The recent news is that he had a diluted drug test at the combine. How much does that hurt him in his draft stock?
I don't think it hurts him a lot. I think people in the league have really struggled to try and identify and figure out what they want to do with Jabril. I know I'm in the camp of, look, if you're having to carve out a niche role for a guy that's not a pure corner, not a pure safety, not a pure linebacker, then that means he's probably not a first rounder in my humble estimation. So it wouldn't bother me as much with the diluted sample. I had him in the second round anyway. If he were the best player available in the second round, I would be okay with it. But if you're going to take him in the first round as an organization, you better make sure that the coaches are on the same page and have a vision along with the GM who's going to make the choice of how he's actually going to be used on your defense. I personally don't think the Browns are in position to take a player like this. I think he's more of a luxury item for an established defensive team. But is he a good football player? Yes. You're just not sure exactly how he's going to be utilized. To me, he's more of a nickel-type defender, combination outside backer, nickel corner, down safety, playing closer to the line of scrimmage where he can support the run and blitz. And, you know, most of these pro teams are in some form of sub package, a nickel defense about 60-70% of the time. So there's definitely a place for him. I just, in my opinion, I just wouldn't want to have to jump through all those hoops knowing that there's other players that have a cleaner fit within the National Football League.
Again, we're talking with Phil Savage, Executive Director for the Senior Bowl here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Phil, we'll cut you loose on this. I think from an outsider's perspective, we always have our own ideas to what we think the war room is actually like. You've been through this process with a few different teams. For those who have never been a part of that, what's this week like leading up to the draft? And more importantly, how intense does it actually get inside these war rooms?
I would say most of the intensity in terms of debating players and trying to put them in a certain order and stack your board really takes place over the course of the meetings going back to December, then, you know, before the combine, and then certainly after the pro days. Most of the clubs have at least three really detailed meetings with, you know, everybody involved, and that's where it can get heated and have a difference of opinion on things. By the time you get to this week, it's really more of a feeling of anticipation. You know, you want to feel like you're prepared. You've laid out all the options, what your real game plan is for the first round, what your thoughts are for the second and third round in terms of are we going to try to move up, move down, those sorts of scenarios. And, you know, I know in the experience that I had both in Cleveland twice and then in Baltimore, our best war rooms, so to speak, were the ones that were somewhat subdued and felt imminently prepared and ready to take the players in the order that we had put them in through all the work that had been done during the spring.
Well, Phil, we really appreciate you giving us some of your time here. We know this is a really, really busy week for you. Thanks again for stopping by, and safe travels to you. I know you're headed out to the draft here. You're heading out to Philly, I believe, later tonight or tomorrow. So thank you again for your time, and safe travels out to Philadelphia.
Okay, I appreciate it. I hope the draft goes well for you guys, and it's going to be a fascinating first round. I really believe there's a lot of question marks. People think they know, but I don't know that any of us really know anything beyond Myles Garrett at pick number one.
Well, that's the beauty of the NFL draft is its unpredictability. Phil, thank you again very much for your time. That's Phil Savage, the Executive Director for the Senior Bowl, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Again, we are live at the Life Care Center of Elyria for a taste of Elyria.